Bibles to John chapter 20. So let me get my Bible for a moment. John chapter 20. I'm going to grab a drink of water for a moment too. John chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 24, and we'll read through to the very end of the chapter, verse 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, referring to the book of John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's as far as we'll read. It's the week after Easter. And Thomas has got a problem. You see, Thomas wasn't with the others when Jesus came the first time a week ago on Easter Sunday. Thomas wasn't with them. And he walked into the room after Jesus had already left. And he was expecting something to be the similar mood as when he left. You know, everybody was sort of in a funk. They were sort of struggling with this idea that Jesus was gone. He was expecting that. This is the way that he left the other disciples. And so Thomas comes back, and he's expecting this mood of somber mood, maybe a tearful mood. And instead, he walks in the door, and it's like a party is going on. And everybody goes, "Thomas, where have you been? Where have you been, man? The Lord is risen. Jesus is alive. He was here." You can imagine the shock. "Yeah, okay, sure, he was here." But Thomas had a problem because he could not wrap his mind around this thing. And likely, you and I probably wouldn't be able to do the same thing. You can't wrap your mind around this idea that somebody that you saw die from a distance, that you denied and walked away from, that you fled from when he was in his hour of most need, and you promised, you were one of the group of people who promised that you would be with him up until that point, that you walked away from him, and now he's dead, and he's been dead for a couple of days, and these guys, you come out from wherever you were, and you come back in, and you find that these guys have just gone off their rocker, coming up with this cockamamie story about how Jesus is alive. What's with that? And I think, you know, the pessimist in us gets that. We can relate. But I think the realist, I think Thomas is a realist, because he sees that Jesus is dead. And he knows that Jesus raised other people from the dead. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days. He saw the young girl being raised from the dead. He saw the aftermath of that. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. But Jesus was alive when that happened. And now Jesus himself is dead? It's too far out there for Thomas to get his mind around. And so his realistic attitude steps into play. And he says, there's no way. He says, there is no way. Now, knowing some of the disciples and their attitudes, you may be able to picture some of what the conversation happened around that time. Like Peter's sort of a spontaneous type of guy. He's going, come on, Thomas, get with it. Come on. You know what it is. Come on. You know us. We've been together for all this time, and you can't get this through your fat head. Or maybe more like Andrew. Andrew's might be a little bit more, personable. Come on, Thomas, let's go for a walk, and let's talk outside for a minute. But no matter what conversation Thomas had with the other people, he just could not believe it. In fact, he didn't know what to believe. Because these guys were not backing off. They saw something. But what did they see? And even the story of Jesus walking up and saying, look, come and check me out, to the other disciples. Check me out. Touch me. Feel the wounds. They watched him eat a piece of fish. All these things happened to prove that Jesus was alive in his body. But Thomas wouldn't buy it. And a week of this conversation goes by. You can imagine the tension between the disciples at this point. A week of this. All cooped up in the same room. We sort of have an idea of what that's about now. Cooped up in the same house for a while. These guys weren't cooped up because of a disease that was rampant or a pandemic. These guys were cooped up out of fear. Fear that the Pharisees and the leaders and the teachers would all come after them as well. And that's why they locked the door. And a week of this goes by, and Jesus appears again through the locked door. And I love what Jesus says. Because Jesus says exactly what Thomas said. Unless I can put my finger in the nail holes, and unless I can put my hand in his side, I am not going to believe. And Jesus said, hey, Thomas, check it out. Put your finger in the nail holes, put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And with that same determination that Thomas rejected the story of the disciples, now he turns that right around with the same determination and says, my Lord and my God. Which is the same, which pretty much sums up all of John, all of the Gospel of John. That someone would come to faith and proclaim, my Lord and my God. Amazing. Thomas didn't know what to believe. And you and I think we're in sort of the same boat. These days, we don't know what to believe. We are struggling in so many situations with the news and all of the stuff that's going on in our society these days, with conspiracy theories and blaming governments and blaming governmental leaders and blaming leaders of all stripes, that we are either doing too much or we're not doing enough, or we should have done things different, and what time did we do things, and a certain country is responsible for this, and certain things are all happening about this, and we are talking it up, and the media is talking it up, and we're all talking about this thing. Every one of us. It's the topic of conversation. COVID-19 is topped weather. That's pretty bad. And so COVID-19 has topped weather, and we just don't know what to believe. What do we believe? Do we believe that China started this thing? Do we believe that it came from bats? Do we believe that it... What do we believe? And that's where the struggle comes in. That's where the struggle comes in. But today, the answer is the same as it was for Thomas a week after Easter, so many hundreds of years ago. When we look at God, when we look at the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the answer is the same. We proclaim along with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Once we see who Jesus is, we see Jesus risen in the body, that he beat death. Now, what does that mean that he beat death, and how does that relate to our COVID-19 doubts? Because Jesus beat death, he is proclaiming the truth. Thomas was looking for truth. He was looking for the truth. And Jesus showed him the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. But Jesus showed him the truth. This is it. And now you've seen it. Now believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Because you believe in Jesus Christ, in the risen Christ, that Jesus is risen from the dead on Easter Sunday, you believe in the truth of the risen Christ, you have a firm foundation on which to stand. Otherwise, in your sea of doubt that you are flailing in, trying to tread water, you're going to succumb to it. If you don't have a firm foundation. And that's many people's problems these days, is that they are running from one theory to another theory, and they're getting caught up in every little tidbit of information that is being thrust at us through the internet, through television, and through all sorts of media. And we lose focus of the truth, which is the risen Christ. And the risen Christ gives us a foundation on which to stand. And so it's sort of like you're in the middle of a deep lake and you're trying to tread water and you're having a struggle and then finding that rock to stand on in the middle of the lake so that you can actually get a foothold and stand on it. That's what the truth of the risen Christ is. Because if Jesus is risen, then Jesus is also ascended. And if Jesus is ascended, he is in a place of authority over all of this that's happening around us. And if he is in a place of authority, then the buck stops with Jesus. And if you believe in that, if you believe in the buck stopping with Jesus, then you will not fear and you will not worry about all of the stuff and all of the doubts that are going around. And you will trust that the leaders have some sort of sense of what of believing what they're being told and that they're acting upon it. And even if you don't agree with it, it doesn't matter because Christ is risen and he has authority. Thomas was for that week, Thomas was floating in a sea of doubt. He didn't know, he didn't have that foothold. Now, seeing the risen Christ, he has a foothold. John, in verse 31, in the last verse of the text today, this is John's little comment, verse 30 and 31. Jesus doesn't say this. This is John's comment. And I'll just reread 30 and 31 for you. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, says John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John's an eyewitness. He knows what he saw. And he recorded it in his gospel, as did Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These are the eyewitness accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. They are written, all of them, all the four gospels, are written so that we may come to faith in his name. And so in our sea of doubt now, put your trust in Christ. Focus out of the picture of COVID-19 and be encouraged that Jesus has risen and that you have eternal life in his name. What a gift for you and me. Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you not only died to forgive our sin, but that you rose to beat death so that you could pave the way for us to have eternal life with you. That you could make that possible. And we are amazed. We are amazed at what you have done and what you are continuing to do in our lives. So in our current situation, let us focus on you. And let us give you the praise and honor and glory and attention. I read a post, Lord, this week online. And I think it was Toby Mack who said these words. Are we talking about it, or are we praying about it as much as we're talking about it? And help us to be praying to you about the very things that are troubling us right now as much as we are talking about it. Thank you for those words, and thank you for the gift of being in tune with you. Help us, Lord, to weather this, honoring you as we go. In Christ we pray. Amen.